We're continuing our series, The God That I Know Is, and as Michael has already informed you, it's The God That I Know Is Transforming Me. And lucky me, I get to do a talk about how God's transforming me, because we wanted this series to be full of personal examples and experience, and I find it hard to do that in all humility, to stand up and say, hey, look at what God's doing in me. See what you can learn from me as God works in me. So rather than do that so much this morning, we are going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. I just want us to hold that intention with where we were last week as Lorna preached and then also sang a song that she had written for us as well. I just, managing expectations, I will not be doing that for you this morning. But it was about how Lorna shared with us, knowing a God who dwells in our hearts. That's actually the chapter before this chapter, which is where Paul is saying, now live like this, be transformed. Actually, I want to see transformation in your lives, says Paul. And that comes after the chapter with regards to his prayer that they would know God dwelling in their hearts and know his love. And there's no mistake that one comes before the other. Can you hear me? We'll think about that a little bit this morning. So as we always do, and just moving straight along from that, think of our vision and how on the left we have God's love, especially seen in Christ on the cross, and how that shapes our personal identity, how it shapes us as a community, how it shapes who we are as we walk with other people in this life, in this broken world that we walk in. It's all about this. Our vision is about transformation at its very, very core. A transformation that comes from being connected to and knowing God's love in Jesus. So in light of that, I want to just get you to think about who we are in life often, and it's not all of us all of the time, but I think it's all of us a little bit of the time at least. Paul in Colossians talks about a thing that he calls the principles of this world. And the principles of this world is something that was a part of our former life outside of Jesus and not a part of our life now in Jesus. The principles of the world is where you or I think we need to win somehow. We sort of see life as a bit of a trophy there somewhere, and we ask some really good questions sometimes, but maybe for the wrong reasons. And so when we think about being transformed, these are some of the questions, and some of these questions are great questions. And you may have asked them, and I've asked some of these, if not all of them at times. How can I be the best version of myself? How can I grow? How can I bear more fruit? How can I look more like Jesus? How can I please God more? How can I be a success? How can I mature? How can I make better choices? Or other sort of ways of saying the same thing, really. How can I be better than the broken person that I am at this time? And they're good questions to ask, but there's a why that sits behind them, isn't there? Why do you want to bear more fruit? Why do you want to be more mature? Why do you want to make better choices? Is it because, and I think this is natural, it's going by the principles of this world, is it because there's a trophy there somewhere in some way? Either a trophy that somehow you grasp because you've pleased yourself, or a trophy that you've grasped because you've pleased other people, or even a trophy that you've grasped because you've decided that in it you've pleased God. Our reasons for wanting to change and transform are very important, because they're actually going to dictate a lot of how we go about it and actually what the fruit actually looks like at the other end of it all. And so Paul talks about a new life in Ephesians 4, and it's a new life that in some ways is filled with these sorts of things that are linked to these questions. So if we go from verse 22, for example, he tells us to put off our old self, and then in verse 23 says, well, be made new in the attitude of your minds. Verse 24, he says, put on the new self, and verse 25, put off falsehood. Verse 26, he says, in your anger do not win, and I've missed verse 27, but verse 27 says, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Verse 28, he says, steal no longer. Verse 29, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Can you hear what Paul is saying? There was an old way, there's a new way, there's a transformation that should occur. I want to see the new way. I want to see the transformation, Paul says, the chapter after, praying for them to know the indwelling love of God through the Holy Spirit. He keeps going, doesn't he? Verse 31. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawlings and slander. Can I just say I'm really pleased to report that I haven't seen a good brawl here at MacChap for a while. That is pleasing. Verse 32, be kind and forgiving. Chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God. But why? What's the why behind all this, or the how that's going to cause transformation? Now, I read a book that was not written by one author. It was a collaborative work. It's called The Cure. I may have mentioned it before. I know at least one of you here has heard me talk about it before. And in The Cure, there's this guy, and he's walking down a road, the road of life. And as he's walking down the road of life, he comes to a fork in the road, and there's a sign at the fork in the road. And the sign has to one direction, one path that says pleasing God. That's the path you go if you want to please God. Then there was a path the other way. So one was a left-hand turn, the other one's a right-hand turn, which says the path of trusting God. And he has to make a choice. Am I going to please God or am I going to trust God? And can you hear, like just for a moment, imagine if that was you. You come to that sign. Which do you choose? And the question he asks, he says, why can't it be both? Why can't I trust God and please God? And so in the story, what he decides to do was that, you know, I mean, trusting God's really important. I should trust God, but I really want to please God. I really want to please God, and I'm going to choose to please God. So he goes down the path of pleasing God, and he ends up finding this building with a room, and this room is called the Room of Good Intentions. And it's a room where when you enter the room, you're greeted with somebody who's wearing a mask, and they give you a mask as you enter that room, because it's the Room of Good Intentions where we please God. And to please God, we have to hide something of ourselves, the bits that displease God. And we also hide them from each other. And we just put on a brave face behind our mask and we pretend. Because that's what it is to go down the journey of trying to please God. We end up hiding parts of ourselves as a result. The parts that we feel are shameful, that God would not be pleased with. The path of pleasing God is holding back and hiding parts of ourselves. He ends up leaving the Room of Good Intentions and goes back up the path and comes back to the sign, and he decides, well, there's only one way to go. If pleasing God doesn't work, I need to trust God. And he goes down the path and finds a room, and in that room, it's called the Room of Grace. And no one is wearing a mask. Everybody is trusting in the reality and the truth that no matter how they feel with regards to shame or guilt, that they're accepted. But gee, it takes some trust. One of the key fundamental things behind transformation is realizing the truth that when God says he loves you, that you trust him in that truth. And when God says, you are my son and you are my daughter, in whom I am so pleased, that you are here, that you trust him in that truth. God is already pleased that you are here. Some things that we say and do at times are things that hurts God and other people. I'm not minimizing that. But we need to trust God in who he says that we are. Trust is needed to step into a relationship and connection with God. Trust is needed to step into that reality that his spirit dwells in us, like we thought of last week. Now, I'm going to mention the Inside Out course a few times, because the Inside Out course is a lot about transformation and change in us. And it has this quote in it, which the context of the quote is, I guess, the goal of spiritual formation. And whether the goal of spiritual formation is actually so that we can please God. In other words, we can start doing things better. We can grow and mature and look better. And this is what they say in the Inside Out course. The goal of spiritual formation, and indeed of our whole lives, is first of all this, an intimate loving connection and relationship with the Trinity. Now, the reason I put the quote is because I want you to get something else in perspective, and that is the second part. One of the really beautiful outcomes of that friendship is transformation. You don't have a friendship with God because you've been transformed and are now pleasing to Him. No. You firstly have a relationship with God, and you're then changed and transformed through that. Down on the right, we have, I guess, what is designed to show what it's like for us during our entire lives as we walk with God. We start with what is often called our false self. Paul doesn't call it that in this passage. He calls it our old self and putting on our new self. But there's a false self that lives in this room of good intentions behind a mask, because that's, we think, the way that we please ourselves or others or God. And then the thing that changes is that we are invited into an intimate connection with God. And that intimate connection is what shapes and forms us and changes us. And so that we can more and more take our masks off and be our true selves. That is not something that you will do this week. That's something that we walk through life with, ever growing, ever changing, ever transforming. And sometimes God might do something massive in our life in the space of 24 hours that somehow moves us along rapidly at some point. When we were at base camp, we heard about a guy who had been at base camp 2 years earlier, but a guy who was in prison and led a horrible life. And that was what testimonies used to be when I was growing up in the church in the 80s. If you remember that, a good testimony went for at least 2 hours. And it was 2 hours, and it was as shocking and as horrific as you can imagine. You know, I was on drugs by the time I was 3, all that sort of stuff. And then the way God changes me, and there's this massive transformation. God does that. But often it doesn't look like that. It looks like small incremental changes as a shift happens within us and we realize, I can trust God with that more than I realized. And God reveals a bit of ourselves and we realize, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I was that selfish. I can trust God that even though I've just realized I'm that selfish, He still loves me. And so we continue. And so Paul, in this passage, sprinkled through this, he doesn't want us to forget what he's told us about in Ephesians 3 and the prayer that he had for us. And he sprinkles it through, in verse 24, he says, put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. But in verse 30, he says something like this. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I don't fully understand what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But I think a part of what it means is when God says, hey, I want to dwell in you and I want you to know that and I want you to fellowship with me, and we don't. And in verse 32, he says, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's the orientation of it. That's the perspective. That's the context of being changed and this transformation that Paul wants to see in them. Is in the context of that, or in verse 2 of chapter 5, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That is the context, the perspective, indeed the way that it happens. We love because he first loved us. One of my favorite verses, and many of you know what my favorite verses are now, but John 15:5 is one of my favorite. Because it just spells it out. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It takes trust, doesn't it, to sit in that truth? Trust that he actually means this. That there's actually an invitation to abide with him. And there's also trust involved in the fact that by doing that, somehow we will be transformed and changed. And it's not going to be through me just willing change within myself. Now, this sits behind that sign. Do we trust God or do we please God? And so last week we looked at this idea that God, the God that we know, dwells in our hearts. We have this question of pleasing or trusting God. Just for a moment, changing gears slightly, we've been doing a church consultancy that has officially finished in and of itself, and we're now trying to move forward with some of the things that we've heard coming out of that. And I want to say that there were four things that the consultancy highlighted, probably the biggest four things, though there are a lot of other minor things as well. But four big things was that we heard from the consultancy that we are very tired. And I've talked to some people, and for some people that's a bit of a maybe a morale or a not like a maybe a little less hope in what God might be doing here. For some it's because we're physically tired. There's different reasons for that. There's care for one another, or pastoral care is what was highlighted. There's mission and outreach or evangelism was another big area. And the final one was leadership, and whether it was actually present and active or maybe a little bit AWOL and inactive. And with those four things, we had 100 ideas that came out, and some of those 100 ideas were things around this, and they're good ideas in there. And just, I want you to hear me really clearly. These are four things for us to focus on and to think about and be intentional with. These are four things for us to work out whether we're communicating well and whether we've got appropriate programs or not. These are four things for us to work on. Absolutely. I also want to highlight something else to do with the context of them, which is huge. And that is that all four of these things are fruit of what God does in us. And if we don't hold that context and perspective, then we will just try and fix these things and not actually allow God to help us fix these things. These are all fruit of abiding. Now, one of the things that is just a reality of my job is I preach regularly. And part of the reality of that is I have people come to me and give me feedback on that, which I appreciate. And if you ever want to give me feedback, then please do. But one of the common threads, I guess, at times has been that people have made the comment, like, I would really prefer it if in your sermons you just told me what to do. What they mean by that is, can you tell me what would be the pleasing thing for me to do for God? What would be the right thing for me to do? Can you tell me in my life what it is that will get me a trophy, perhaps? And one of the things that I've answered that question at times is I've said, I have invitations. Have you noticed in my talks? At the end, I invite you to something. I might invite you to do an exam or spend some time in silence or solitude, or to spend some time contemplating a particular Bible verse, or thinking about whether there's a place for breath prayers in your life, or whatever it might be. And I give a number of examples. And I would say to people when they ask me why it is that you just can't tell me what to do, I say, I've invited you into things. Have you done those invitations? And the response has often been no. Those invitations are designed to help you to know what to do and also to be able to do it, because those invitations are leading you closer to a deeper and more intimate relationship with God. Just so you know and understand a little bit of where I'm coming from with how it is that we are transformed and changed, in the Inside Out course, they present a model, three different models actually, but they're very similar and there's a lot of overlap between Dallas Willard and Trevor Hudson and James Bryan Smith. And all of them have a triangle. I couldn't do a triangle with my limited abilities on the computer, but as you can see, it looks like a triangle in a way. In the center, for two out of the three, is the Holy Spirit, or some sort of divine fellowship, our connection. So just think of the Holy Spirit as the God dwelling within us, that divine fellowship that happens in the Trinity that we are invited into and is within us. That's at the center of this, how it is that we are changed and transformed on that journey. That we actually live with this reality within us in some way. And there's three things around the outside that I think interact with that and help with that. The first on the bottom left is soul-engaging exercises. They're often the invitations that I give you. They're also known as spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines. They're things that we can do that just help us or open us up more to that divine fellowship that's happening at the center. At the top is our picture of God, or adopting Jesus' narratives, or another way it's put is having the mind of Christ. This is one of the reasons we sit from Christmas to Easter in a gospel, and we cycle through the four gospels in every 4 years, is so that we can spend a significant amount of time as a church sitting with the mind of Jesus and how he interacted with those around him, so that we can see and understand that better. That is a part of what it is to also be changed and transformed as we consider Jesus and who he is. And then the bottom right, depending on the model, is seen as community or the ordinary events of life. And I think the ordinary events of life are things like when people wrong us and we are challenged to whether or not we will forgive them and show grace, or when people perhaps judge us and how it is that we might respond humbly to that. But not only that, it's also when we judge others and have others show humility towards us, or when we wrong others and have them show forgiveness towards us. Spiritual formation happens in community. It's a key part. And so I wanted to give you that model this morning so you can see a little bit of where I'm coming from in what I'm trying to do, I guess, each and every week in a helpful way. And once again, I'm happy for feedback on how I'm doing with that. It's because I understand that this model is not the only way God works, but it's a way of understanding how God works in us to change us and transform us. Oh dear. Here we go. So in all of this, though, there is a trusting in God. There's a trusting in God that at the very center of it, when he says he wants a connection with us and the fellowship that is in the Trinity, that we're invited into that. There's a trusting in that. But not only is there a trusting, and sometimes I'm not sure if trusting is the right word. Sometimes I find a really helpful word is the word surrender in the midst of that. Jesus in Matthew 11, probably the best few verses that we know that Jesus spoke about with regards to our own tiredness in trying to live up to the pleasing God or pleasing others or ourselves, is this surrender to the reality that we don't need to. And so Jesus has this invitation to you and to me to come to, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's where we let go of the principles of the world. We start trusting and stop for a moment in trying to please. Simon Ponsonby says this about our experience of Jesus, I guess, as we meet him. He says, to truly encounter Jesus is to be knocked sideways, astonished, overwhelmed. Mild interest means you have not yet met him. I find that challenging. I don't know if you do. Because I'm not sure if I've been knocked sideways, astonished, and overwhelmed enough by who Jesus is. He's about relationship and connection. And if we've been hurt, it can be very hard to open ourselves up to God. And so at the heart of that is a trust that needs to grow and develop. David Benner, in his book, The Gift of Being Yourself, which is about becoming your true self, says this, Christian spirituality is a transformational journey. It's taking on the mind and heart of Christ. It's a journey towards union with God. And if these things don't challenge and ultimately transform the very foundations of our identity, we have not yet gone very far on the journey. So just to finish off, a couple of things really. I want to say this about my experience, is that I've not gone far on this journey. I feel that over the last 55 years that I have walked this earth, crawled and walked, most of that time I've known about God and about Jesus. But I feel that it's only been in more recent years that I have started to understand the need to have him dwell in my heart and to be connected to that reality. It's certainly only in recent years that I've realized that that is what changes me and not just my own desire and force of will to be better. One of the ways that this transformation has occurred in my life that I'm aware of, and it's an easy one for me to choose in the sense that it's something that's within me, so you can't tell me later at morning tea that you haven't seen this change in me. Though maybe you could recognize it. But anyway, I have greater peace within. I showed you that, I guess, model of the way God does change and transform us. He may or may not choose to do that. He can choose all sorts of ways to change and transform us. One of the great things about Scripture is it shows how God does that. He changes and transforms us in many different ways. One of the things for me in more recent times was that I've had some counseling, and it was very helpful in a way that I didn't expect in dealing with some past things for me. It was a Christian counselor. And one of the ways that was really unexpected in all of that, and I think when I talked to the counselor about it, I don't think he expected it either, but the way that it helped me with regards to forgiving other people who had wronged me in my life, who I'd struggled to forgive. These things can all be a part of the journey, and God can use all sorts of ways and means as he dwells within us to help us. But over time, the old self fades, and the new self develops very slowly, it would appear sometimes. Some of us more slowly than others. There's seasons where sometimes it's quicker and it builds pace. But the Inside Out course has this quote in it as well. It says, spiritual formation is the slowest of all human movements. And so one of the keys to it is patience. It actually moves at the speed of relationship, because that's at the heart of it, our relationship with God. And sometimes, I know for me personally, I've been really slow on taking up God's invitation to be loved by him. And as slow as I have been in doing that, so has the transformation been. There have been times where I have realized in a greater and deeper way how much God has loved me. And I have allowed myself to open up to that. And things like that peace that I have within, I find grows as I do that. And so coming out of that model, and we don't have to use that model or understand that model as the only way, but there's some questions that come out of that model that I showed you, that triangle model. And these might be something that this week, I would invite you, if you want to sit with maybe one of these that is something that you might feel that this morning would be helpful for you to work on. And so the first is that idea of how God views you or how you view God. That's at that center with that Holy Spirit and that divine connection. How does he view you? Does he view you as a father who is a good father who loves? Or are you sort of stuck in that idea that you have to please him and that you struggle to do that? So the two are connected. How does God view you and how do you view God? It could be bottom left of that diagram was practices that engage your soul. What practices help you to do that? Have there been some recently that you've done that you found helpful that would be worth trying again? Are there some that you haven't tried that might be helpful? Next, how meaningfully engaged with others are you? I say that because of that one down the bottom right-hand corner about community and the everyday events of life. Spiritual transformation doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens with our connection with God, but it also happens often in community. And so how authentic and real, indeed, how have you been without a mask on around other people? Is there somebody in your life, another human being, who walks your journey with Jesus with you? And finally, do you fellowship with the divine? Do you have that connection with Jesus? Have you opened yourself up to his Holy Spirit as it lives and works in you? I'm going to pray, and you might like to think about which one of those is something that might be helpful for you to think on and work on this week. Let me pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I think we've bitten off a fair bit this morning. There's a lot to process. We thank you for Jesus and the love that we see in him. And we thank you for the way that the cross speaks to us. It ministers to us. It ministers to us that we do not need to please you, but rather we need to trust you. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with us this week as we think about how it is that we can lean into or open ourselves up more to the transforming work you might do in us. Lord, we pause just to think about what it is that you might have us do this week. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us here this morning, this week, to move closer to you in some way, to be open to your working in us, to be open to the reality and the truth that we are your son, that we are your daughter, that we are deeply, profoundly loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen.